I meant to tell you. Here we are. Derech Hashem. Heilige Ramchal. Klal Yisoides HaMetzias. Kol Yishmi Yisroel. Every single Jewish man, every Jewish person. Tzarech Sheyamin. V'yeida. So we spoke about the mitzvah of Amunah and the mitzvah of Yediyah. The way that we explained it, I believe, is the way that Marin Rav Agoyin, Rav David Cohen Shlito explains it. Is Emunah is the lower level, and Yediyah is a higher level. Yediyah is when a person knows something. It means he has no pikpukim. He has no sveikus. It's a fact by him. We tend to think fact or knowing something means you can prove it. That's not true. You can know something without being able to prove it. I just have no questions. I have no doubt. So that is something. A person can have that in his Yediyah Hashem. Sheish Sham Matsui Rishon is something that existed. Kadmoin Benitzchi. Kadmoin means that the way that Reb David says in the Bible is Rishonis Muchletes She'in La'Haschala. In other words, that's the following thing. And there's also Benitzchi, it means that he's eternal, which means he will always be the last. Which is as follows. Let's say, for example, a person says that the Yankees always end up in first place. Right? Do the Yankees always end up in first place because the Yankees are just, you know, better than everyone else? Or is there something about the Yankees that will always make them be in first place? Like, for example, the 10-yard line is always the first yard line. Just assuming that there's no other yard line, like no 9 and 8 and whatever. It will always be the first yard line, right? Because that's just the way it is. It's not because it worked out better. Hashem is kadmoin v'nitzchi, means he's be'etzem koidim to everything. It's not just happened to be that he was the first one. He's be'etzem koidim to everything because he's before Zman. He has no beginning. There's no beginning. What was before Hashem? That question doesn't make any sense because before means time, and Hashem created time. So, you know, it's hard for us to wrap our head around it. Of course it is, because we live within certain dimensions. Hashem is out of that dimension, so we have to know that. V'hu shehimtzi umamtzi koma shenimtzi v'metzias. Hu shehimtzi means he did create, umamtzi, and he continues to create, or mamtzi, create, or another word for mamtzi, what's another word, not create? To, the hamtzi is to, can you help me, English?
Propagate.
There you go. He propagates. Komash and Imtziv Metzias. I don't know. He presents. Lahamtzi is like to present, I think. So here goes, my friends. We said HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he continues to create the world. Hashem created the world. Bereshis Bara Elohim. He continues to create the world. HaMechadesh B'tuvoy B'chol Yoyim Tamid Ma'aseh Bereshis. The Ma'aseh Bereshis Bara Elohim. Hashem is Mechadesh B'tuvoy B'chol Yoyim Tamid. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Hashem created the world once. No, he continues creating the world. Mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid. So, for example, whatever Hashem did back then, he continues to do. I think that what this is, the secret to this is, there's something called the grandfather clock theory. Are you familiar with that? Do you know what the grandfather clock is? My grandfather had one of these clocks.
The things over here?
No, a grandfather clock is those big clocks that you could, like, you wind them and they, like, go forever. Like, not really forever, but they go for an entire week. You don't have to wind them for a long time. So Hashem kind of, like, put the world in motion and then he just, like, checked out, you know, like, here. That's the grandfather clock theory. Hashem created the world and, like, okay, I'm out of here. You guys do whatever you want, you know, whatever. Not my business. I'm not getting involved. Why did he do that? Good question. But he created the world. That is most of Goyim think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in a daily basis. Hashem created the world. He continues to create the world constantly. It means that Hashem is actively involved in every single second of every single thing that's happening in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaged in what's happening. It's not like Hashem every once in a while like peeks his head in like, how you guys doing? And they, oh, check that out. Look what's going on over there. Corona. I think I ought to take care of that. I mean, how long is it? Oh, he killed already a few people? Okay, we'll stop it now. It didn't go like that. It wasn't like there's a few seconds that Hashem like sleeps or Hashem misses. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Hashem is always constantly mechadesh b'tuvay b'chol yoyim tamid ma'aseh bereshis. So I want to tell you a beautiful pshat I heard from Moshe Shapiro. The Gemara says there was a lady, a matronusa, and she asked one of the Amoraim, I don't remember who it was, one of the Tanoim, what is Hashem doing? Since he created the world, he's got to be pretty bored. So he answered, Hashem is being mezaveg zivugim. You might hear about this. Shavu brachas Torah, Hashem is mezaveg. And she said, oh, it's so hard to be mezaveg zivugim. And she started doing some matchmaking. She started putting a bunch of people together. And she made 30 shidduchim. And she's like, oh, look at that. I can do it myself. And then all 30 of them ended up like either getting divorced or separating, whatever it was, didn't work. And then they showed her, you see Hashem, you need Hashem to be mezaveg zivugim. But Rav Moshe Shapiro asked the following question. He asked, why did he say that Hashem is being mezaveg zivugim? Hashem is mechadesh b'tuvoy b'chol yoyim tamid ma'aseh bereishis. So Hashem's busy, as busy as he was the first day of creation, he's that busy. He's constantly rejuvenating the world. Why didn't he just say that to her? And Rav Moshe Shapiro gave the following insightful answer. He said, when you answer someone's question, you have to give them an answer that they can digest. You can't tell them something that they're not going to be able to understand. You got to speak their language. Okay? Now, for a guy to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly involved in the world, he won't be able to understand it, and I'll explain to you why. And I will, I might shouldn't say this part, but I'm going to explain to you why. Why can a guy not understand that? Because Hashem's creating, constantly involved in the world, is something called Hashgacha Pratis, which is Hashem is like watching every single detail of what's happening at every single moment, exactly who does get corona, who doesn't get corona, who gets into this yeshiva, who ends up in this dorm room, who got schnitzel for tonight for dinner, who didn't get schnitzel, who's the guy that did end up going on the jeeping and who ended up on the in the ATVing, and every single detail of our life is tailor-made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That reality, Hashgacha Pratis, only exists by Klal Yisrael. It doesn't exist, for example, by ants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a particular ant, Sam the ant, that Hashem is watching out over, and if the ground crushes, you know, it caves in on, make sure that this ant stays alive. Hashem needs ants. He doesn't care who the ants are. You ants are, not every ant himself is not relevant as an individual. It's just relevant for, because I need ants in order to be able to have plants. Or whatever else I need ants for. Same thing with cows. Same thing with goyim. Goyim do not have hashgacha pratis. So if a goy doesn't have hashgacha pratis, hold on, Makil, we'll hold on a second. I'll get to you, I got you. If a goy doesn't have hashgacha pratis, he doesn't understand why is Hashem busy creating the world over and over again. What does that mean? Just create the world and move on. Because there is no hashgacha pratis for him. You can't expect him to wrap his head around something that he can't relate to because it doesn't happen to him. So for a guy, he's like, I don't get it. What is Hashem doing? For us, we understand Hashem is busy. Every single step of my life is being orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's constantly making everything work out exactly the way it's supposed to work out. And when I was on my way here, I accidentally went on my way back from Beit Shemesh, I took a right turn instead of a left turn. The Eibishter wanted me to take that right turn. Why? I got no idea, but I'm positive it was not a mistake. That's exactly what Hashem wanted. That's Hashgacha Pratis. And that's why it's Tzorach Kol Ish Me Yisrael Tzorach Shiyamin V'yeda. We ask the question, why is it Kol Ish Me Yisrael? It should be Kol Ish Ba'olam. Well, every person has to believe in Hashem. But not every person that believes that Hashem is Nimtza Umamtzi. That is special for Klal Yisrael. We believe Hashem is involved in every single detail of our life. Every detail. That Yidden have to believe. Goyim have to believe Hashem created the world. Where is he now? He's on vacay, he's chilling. That's what the Goyim think. And that's it. He's making Shidduchim. That's a whole different shmooze. Why Shidduchim is particularly unnatural. It's like Kriyas Yamsuf. It doesn't make any sense at all. You need Hashem for that. But that's what the Goyim believe. Yes, Malkiel.
I've read very short sources saying that
so there definitely are individuals that will, have different ideas, which they borrow definitely from Jewish thought, without a question. There definitely are situations where a guy will feel like he has Hashgacha Pratis. I'm not saying that never happens. But as a general rule for Goyim, it doesn't exist. Now, I don't know the answer. I've read a book called, Chicken Soup. There's two books that I've read. Chicken Soup for the Soul, or maybe, and Short Stories to Warm the Heart, or something like that. What's the other one? I don't know what the other one's called. Gitte Halberstadt, and two Jewish ladies wrote these books. I don't remember. What? No. There are two big books of short stories. By the Goyim, for a while, short stories were very, very popular. I don't remember what the other one's called. I have in the house. Anyway, some of the stories are totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. They took the batteries out of a doll and it kept on talking anyway, or something like that. And spooky things and whatever. But at the same time, there definitely are examples of people who felt that they had Hashgacha Pratis. I can't tell you exactly what that is, but as a rule, overall, the overriding rule is not like that.
Is there a Hashgacha Pratis in things that non-Jews do that can affect the Jews?
For sure. There are Goyim who are pawns, right? And therefore, they became necessary components of the Bria.
Could a Jew be a pawn?
There was one in history that I know of. Moshe Rabbeinu. Which the Meshech Chochma writes that he lost his Bechira and he was just there just to be a pawn. But most of us, we're not a pawn, we're players. We're extremely important. Every single one of us has our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about me being a pawn for you. Let's say I'm just a pawn for Naftali. No, I'm not. I have my own relationship with Hashem. He has his own relationship with Hashem. He has his own relationship with Hashem. But the Goyim are there just to facilitate our relationships. They don't have their own relationship with Hashem. So therefore, there's no Hashgacha Pratis on them.
Moshe was a pawn?
At one point in his life, says the Meshech Chochma, Moshe Rabbeinu went out of the realm of becoming his own person, and all he did was existed for Klal Yisrael. He no longer had Bechira, he was just doing Klal Yisrael. He was just a leader, for whatever reason. Yeah.
If Hashem's in control of everything, then what does that mean that Goyim don't have the Hashgacha Pratis, that they're included in everything, no?
Hashem is for sure in control of everything, but if you say when a large boulder falls down and seven cow die and one cow stays alive, why did that one cow stay alive? Was it because of that cow? Was it because of Nelly, or is it because Hashem needed a cow? So which cow? I don't make a difference which cow. The cow's a cow. He doesn't care which cow. Or is it because that cow woke up that morning and was nice to the cow next to it, so Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to keep you alive because you are nice. No, I was like, listen, I need one cow. I don't need eight cows. I'll kill seven. I'll leave one alive. Which one? Segeit min ishtan. Any cow. You understand what I mean? You don't understand?
It's difficult. I don't know.
Why is it difficult? Is there anything this cow did that now this cow is alive? There's a boulder comes rolling down the thing and it kills seven cows and one stays alive. Why that cow stayed alive? It's true Hashem wanted one cow alive and not eight. But is there any reason why that cow?
I don't know.
So I'm telling you, the answer is no. There's no reason for that cow. The cow didn't do anything. It wasn't like the cow was like Hashem chose. When there's eight people at the bottom of a hill, and seven of them die and one of them doesn't, Hashem wanted you alive. He didn't want a person alive. You. You had to be alive because of something that you did or something that they did. And you have your own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a reason why. For example, who here got corona in New Bloomfield? Who did not get? You had corona the other day? You tested positive?
I tested positive, but I have something.
Okay. There's a reason why David Uri did not test positive. And he had to go through Bidud. Why? Hashem wanted him in Bidud. The rest of us got out of Bidud. Anyone here not get corona? You didn't get it?
I didn't get any symptoms or anything.
I didn't get it in Pennsylvania.
Never got tested positive. I have antibodies, but never got tested positive.
Everything that happens to us happens for a reason. For me as an individual, it's not that Hashem wanted 70 people in Pennsylvania to get corona. He wanted every individual to get corona. You, when it comes to cows, it's not like that. Hashem doesn't care about the cow. It's not about Hashem needs 30 cows. But which 30? Doesn't make a difference.
Didn't choose
that one. I would think that there's cheshbonos in everything.
There's a cheshbon, why 30 cows? It's not, but why these 30? There's no reason.
So are we saying God don't have free will?
What?
Saying God don't have free will?
I don't know if we're saying they don't have free will. I'm not sure. I don't. Not necessarily. I'm just saying they don't have Hashgacha Pratis. So that's complicated. I would assume religious people also have Hashgacha Pratis.
Then you have to live it, know it, in order to have it?
Not necessarily.
So what's the point?
That's the point of what?
Who cares if you have Hashgacha Pratis or not?
Well, it depends what you consider irreligious people. It's hard to say what's irreligious. What's
two people are in a college together. One of them is Jewish and one isn't.
Does he go to Shul Yom Kippur?
No, he's totally... He might not even know he's Jewish.
Okay, then he could be a dozen.
So he might just be a pawn?
Could be a dozen.
So why do we treat these people... why do we have to treat them the same way we treat why does it matter how we treat them?
We treat Goyim well also. We don't have to treat... We also treat cows well, by the way. I'm very against throwing rocks at cats and dogs and cows and blacks and whites and everything. You should not. All their lives matter. They matter very much. It's Baal Tashchis. Many of them die. It's a Baal Tashchis. To kill a black is Baal Tashchis. He would have been a very good slave.
you didn't know that part out.
It's Baal Tashchis. You're not, but we don't.
Guys, recordings are on.
We don't believe in abusing anyone. Look, to anyone who says that the Jewish people are not believe that they're better than others is not religious or is just lying. Because we believe we're the chosen people. So yes, we are in a certain way better, hold ourselves to a higher standard, expect more of ourselves. Does that mean that we're cruel to Goyim? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, not at all. We're not cruel to Goyim. But that doesn't mean, to say that we don't think that we're better is just not true.
We
believe we're better.
We do believe the blacks are cursed to be slaves though.
That's irrelevant. That could be true, very possibly. But my point is that just because I think that I'm higher than something else doesn't mean we have a halacha that you can't hurt animals. You can't. You're supposed to be kind to animals. You're not supposed to hurt them. So it's the same thing over here. So Goyim do not necessarily have the same level of relationship with Hashem that we have. Does that mean that we can be cruel to them? No. Yeah.
What's the definition of Hashgacha Pratis?
Hashgacha Pratis means that Hashem is relating to me as an individual, not as what I'm necessary for others. In other words, what we're saying about cows, for example, cows are necessary to have in the Bria. Does Hashem need this cow or that cow? He doesn't care. It doesn't make a difference to him. Because you didn't do anything to deserve to be here. You don't have any relationship with me. Cows don't have good days or bad days. Cows are not nice or not nice. So I need a cow. What?
Can we say cows have...
So again, there's goyim as a general rule. There's chaside umas ha'olam, which is very few. There's very few of those, right? Right. There are some that have a relationship, but as a general rule, goyim do not have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very possibly.
Even if they're good people.
There could be that that's already Avodah Zarah over there. So it's Shita for Avodah Zarah. They're already like DOA. But that might also be, I don't know if there's Tinek Shanishba by a guy, Pashas, there isn't. But okay, the point, this you know, can definitely use its own entire shear of how we relate to goyim, but we don't relate to them poorly. Or we're not derogatorily. We happen to think of ourselves as being the Am HaNivchar. We are the chosen people.
But
that requires, that obligates us more than anything else. It definitely makes us, demands more of us than it does other people. Let's move on, my friends. Oid Sarech Sheyeida. Another thing that you need to know. Shehamotzui Hazeh Yisbarach Shemai. This entity, blessed be his name, Ein amitis mitziyusoi museges lizulaso klal. No one can really understand the truth of his existence. No one can really understand it. V'rak ze noide boy. This is the only thing that we know. Shehu matzui shalem b'chol minei shlemes. He's complete in all different types of complete. All different types of complete. And you will not find anything. You talk about like the ultimate and lahavdil elef alfe avdal. So we're going to speak about why this is a decent comparison. The ultimate basketball player. To be a good basketball player, there's so many different nekudas. There's being a great dribbler. There's being a great passer. There's being a great shooter, obviously. Three-point shooter, foul shooter, right? There's a jump shooter. Layups, alley-oops, dunks. There's so many different elements to being a great basketball player. Defense, to being good on defense, block shots, right? You have a guy who is great at so many. He's shalim b'chol minei shlemus. He's mamish. He's tops in everything. V'lo nimtza b'chisaron klal. And there's nothing. He's got no weak spot. He's got no weak. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to chesed, perfect. When it comes to rachamim, perfect. Erech apayim, perfect. All these things. MS, perfect. Perfect, 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 perfect. Lo nimtza boi chisaron klal. So this language is shalom b'chol minei hashlemus, is not found anywhere else in any text. It's a very irregular description for Hashem. Shalom b'chol minei hashlemus. We're going to do next week, Beis Hashem b'li neder, is try to explain what is the Ramchal trying to get at over here. Shalom b'chol minei hashlemus. What does that mean? Hashem is perfect in all the different ways. L'nim tzavuch yisar and klal. Beis Hashem, we'll continue with that, hopefully.